Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. Doing everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day, yeah. Don't put some fight, let us unite, sing up for life. Oh, it's a beautiful day, yeah. It's a beautiful day.
blogtalk.com. I'm your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight we would like to thank everyone out there for tuning in and listening to us here. If you would like to call in tonight to give questions or have commentary about tonight's teaching, you can reach us at area code 646-378-1857. Once again, it's area code 646-378-1857. And thank you again for all those who are out there listening worldwide and tuning in. Tonight, we're going to have a powerful teaching coming from Pastor Steve Lee. And the title of that teaching tonight is What You See Is What I Believe. So with that being said, go ahead and grab some pen and paper. Get ready to take notes as we get ready to hand the mic over to Pastor Steve.
Amen. And thank you again, Brother Mike. So, beloved, let's go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life now as I share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, I ask you to quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. So, beloved, today I would like to talk about what you see is what I believe. And that's an interesting thing for me to say because we've heard it said in the faith world that we walk by faith and not by sight. And I know that scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And while it has been used for a reference point for the possessions of our lives, I would like for us to kind of go back here just to see what God was saying, because sometimes we misappropriate the promises of God. We allow ourselves to get off track because of what we want. Remember, I just said that we have heard it mentioned in our faith walk. Unfortunately, our faith walk was only to our possessions. But God was speaking to it specifically here about the position and attitude of our heart towards him. Okay, so let's just go and look at this so that we can see it in 2 Corinthians. And we'll back up and go into it, all right? And this is just one of those scriptures I just love, so y'all just have to bear with me because I really love it. I just do. Starting, and I'm hesitating because I don't like to start in the middle of a text to try to prove a point. I would like to start in a place that's neutral so that you can hear what was being said. Let's start. See, because I'm going to miss so much of it. Ooh, let me try to go fast. Verse 1, chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Those are the things that we need to deal with, because he's telling us that the word of God, the path to victory in our lives, is not just a path to blessings. Okay, the title is, What You See is What I Believe. See, when you we are supposed to be living epistles read by men, and we're supposed to be read daily. Oh, God. Oh, see, I'm hearing new directions here. If we are to be read daily, then while we are waiting on manifestations of this or that, our testimony should still be in effect. But a lot of times I have found that believers get frustrated when they don't have what they think they're supposed to have. They get mad even at God. Help me, Jesus. I don't know how we come up with that one. But we get disappointed and cave in on the promises that God gave us for life. And we begin to say, well, let me do it another way. That's why we have to learn to function in faith fully so that the things that we say will line up with our heart's position so God can honor his word in us. If the word is not alive in us, beloved, then there's not going to be much results in our hands. Okay, let's do it this way. If God does not have free access to your heart, you didn't give him access to your hands. That one you might want to write down. If God does not have free access to your heart, he might not have access to your hands. He can't feel your hands if he can't get to your heart. Okay? And we're trying to get God to feel our hands so that we would feel good and look good in the sight of others. But he just told us that because we have this ministry, that we don't faint. We've been called to light. That's what he was talking about right there in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. So he was giving us the understanding that we are called into this liberty. Ooh, Jesus. Okay, come on, go back there and just look at that so that you can just see this. God, he builds line upon line, precept upon precept. Okay, so then we should understand this. He was giving us information about the law and how people used it, abused it, messed it up, left it alone. And then he say, this is what we should be living in. Because he says in verse 10 that which is made glorious has no glory in this respect. The Old Testament had no first. God, I'm telling you, I hate to start in the middle. It says it had no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excelleth. Beloved, you have been called into a glory that excels. Amen. Okay, you've been called into promises, as it says, they are better promises based on, there's a better covenant based on better promises. You've been called into that, the glory that excels. So then if, and I asked this question earlier today, if we say we are living by faith, but we don't have what faith produces, then I would ask the question, are we living by faith? Or are we just visiting faith every once in a while? We visit it on the times that we collect together and call it a church service so we can leave and say, didn't we have church today? No, beloved, you are. You have been given a glory that excels. And it excels because of that which was done away was glorious, much more which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Please notice what he's saying. He's saying because you understand where you are supposed to be resting your life, because of that, you use a great plainness of speech. Not like Moses, who had to put a veil over his face and could only talk about things dimly. And the children of Israel could not look into that. What you see is what I believe. They couldn't look into your testimony because your testimony was just speaking about possessions, not about yieldedness of a heart towards God. But their minds were blinded, and they remained blinded until this day, until the veil was taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, when people try to live by the law, the veil is upon their hearts. Oh, I haven't seen that before. When they read the Old Testament, the veil is on their heart. Notice their reading or the sight is going to be on their heart, not on what they heard. Nevertheless, it shall be turned away. When they turn to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. Now the Spirit of the Lord, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we don't faint. Because we understand that we function in liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay, so he's trying to get us to function in the liberty that allows faith to flow. Okay, ooh, did you just hear that? He's trying to get us to go to the place of liberty where faith can flow. If I'm demanding of God that he do this, that, or the other because I need things, I want to see stuff, I want to see manifestation, then I'm not in liberty, I'm still in demand. Okay, and unfortunately, we have approached God in that manner, where we don't want to give him our heart, we just want him to fill our hands. Cause our testimony to be verified because of possession. He says, no, no, no. Seeing, therefore seeing. The word therefore tells you to go back and see what it's there for. If you don't know what the therefore is there for, then you can't execute what needs to be done now. What is being done now is being done now because of the therefore. For the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's what the therefore is there for, that we are going to be changed into the same image. From glory to glory. Okay, see, oh, goodness. Please hear this, beloved. You're going to be changed into the image of Jesus from glory to glory. If, in fact, you did not give God your heart, there will be no change that will be there. So then if you're not changing from glory to glory, you just removed the therefore. Okay, did you catch that? Let the scripture weave itself back together. Stop detaching it. It was not written in chapter and verse. That's what we use to study it so that everyone will be able to get on the same page and study from there. But it's supposed to be lived, beloved. The word is supposed to be lived as one, from glory to glory. Come on, y'all. That's the way the word is supposed to be lived. If I'm not functioning in the glory that was already supposed to be existing, that was already given to me, then I'm not going to enjoy the glory that has been promised. I'm supposed to go from glory to glory. That's what we just studied right there. The thing that remained was it excels in glory. Okay? So that if I'm not functioning in the thing that was already glorious, I'm not going to excel into the promise that is more glorious. Okay, so then we don't throw away the Old Testament, beloved. We don't throw away the law because we're not under that dispensation. We would revere the law and say, I'm glad that the law was my schoolmaster to take me to a glory that excels. Okay? See, what you see is what I believe. My testimony is what I am actively believing. That was the glory that I deposited, and now the testimony is what you see. You see the manifestation because I believed for that. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. If I don't, again, if I don't let God get to my heart, and I only want him to feel my hands, then that would be handling the word of God deceitfully. Because my intent is not to connect with him on a level that he desires. My reasoning for being in fellowship is to tempt God to see what I can get from him. I'm not supposed to walk in that craftiness. I'm not supposed to function in that dishonesty, which causes me to handle the word deceitfully, but rather by manifestation of the truth. Oh, I could preach right there. See, you should be living by what God is doing in you. What you see is what I believe. That's why I can't withhold love from anybody. I cannot withhold forgiveness from anybody, because what you see is what I believe. If I believe that I have a right to be mad at you past the sun, because the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Didn't say you couldn't be mad. He said be angry, but sin not. The first part of your sin would be if the sun goes down on your wrath. Now you have entered into sin. Oh, it's understandable that you're going to be injured. That Jesus said offenses are going to come. It is impossible, but that offense is going to come. You've got to have that. But if the sun goes down on me holding on to that offense, I have now entered into sin. Because he said, I'm not supposed to let the sun go down on my wrath. Be angry, but sin not. See? So I cannot keep my heart away from God's truth. I'm supposed to, it by manifestation of the truth. Come on, y'all. What? Come on, let's just ask questions since you see this. What is in manifestation in your life? Not what do you want in your life. Oh, my God, I hadn't seen that. He asked the question here. What is in manifestation? Is it truth? Or are you handling the word of God deceitfully? Are you walking in craftiness? God see it, but they don't see it, so I'm going to keep on acting like I'm a Christian. No, you can't act like you're a Christian. The word Christian means Christ-likened. That's not an act. That happens to be manifestation of the truth. If I don't have manifestation of that truth, then I am not a son of God. Oh, yeah, I said that. I am a child of his creation, but I'm not a son. Because sons function in power. To him, to those that believe him, to them he gave power to become sons. So then if he had to give you power to become sons, that would tell me that you weren't already sons. Okay? Just so that we get this. See, if I'm going to have manifestation of truth, then I am walking in a place I can be called a son. And the manifestation of this truth commends ourselves to every man's conscience. I have to be subject to what you see, because what you see is what I believe. Okay, I want you to kind of unravel that. If you see me as a dishonest person, then I believe that I can live in God's presence dishonestly. Because that's the manifestation of truth that he's looking for, that it will be commended in every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. They're looking for that testimony he just said. They're looking for that example. They're looking for that conversion of you being coming into the image, conformed to the image of Christ Jesus from glory to glory. From glory to glory. If I think it was a good thing to forgive, then I have to go from the thought process of thinking it's a good thing to forgive to actually forgiving. That's going from glory to glory. First glory was the understanding that it was necessary. The second level of glory is the execution of that which is necessary. The third execution of the glory would be me not then counting it as something that I had to do. Because love does not take an account of a wrong suffered. You see, it's three levels. I just displayed three levels of glory. First, I heard I was supposed to do it. Then I did it. And then I'm not mad because I had to do it. Now, that love never fails, he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. See, that love is in manifestation. That truth is being revealed in the sight of it. Come on now, y'all. It's manifest in every man's conscience in the sight of God. Brother, I hope you're getting this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How is the image going to shine unto them? Through you. Through you. Because if our gospel be hid, who's the one hiding it? You are. Because you are holding the truth in unrighteousness. You are walking in craftiness. You are handling the word of God deceitfully. And those that it's blinded the minds of them. Okay, wow. Did you hear that, Joe? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, of them that believe not, lest the glorious light, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So then, if you are withholding your forgiveness, if you are with making your love conditional, then you just gave the enemy the ability to blind the minds of those that are lost, because they look at you to see if Jesus is alive. Okay? It has to be walked out, beloved. It has to be lived out. Should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Please know and understand, beloved, you are responsible for releasing that light. Because that light has been given. He just said here in verse 6, he has shined that light in your heart. That light has been given to you. The Holy Ghost love has been shed abroad in your heart. And if you don't release it, they can't. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I don't know how to love him. You just lied. Because he just said, you have this treasure. You have this ability. It's inside. Watch this. I'm sorry, y'all. He did not say it was in your spirit. Oh, please. He said this treasure is in earthen. It's in your flesh. How about that? See? It's in your flesh. So because it's in your flesh, in earthen vessels, he's expecting it to be displayed on the earth. This gospel is not for when you get to heaven, beloved. This is not pie in the sky gospel. This is some ham where I am, some steak on my plate. Where's the beef? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not on us, not of us. And then he says, I know that when this display is supposed to be released, I know what your problem is going to be, because you're troubled on every side. But if you're troubled, don't be in distress. You're perplexed, but you're not supposed to be in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. So if you are in distress, if you are in despair, if you feel forsaken, and if you feel cast down, then you're not bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life might be manifest in your body. Please just read what's there, beloved. See, we'll go to the scripture and say, that's right, I'm troubled on every side. But we forgot that he said, yes, I'm not distressed. Oh, I'm just perplexed. I don't understand what he says. No. Your position of a perplexed thought or even a perplexed heart should not allow you to go to despair, hopelessness, where you came in and quit. Because if you understand the word, you know that the trial only came because there was life on the inside of your body. That's what he just said. I was buried around the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus, which is in that same body, might be manifest. For we which are, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life, please, don't ever take the that the life out. Don't just stay in the, I'm always going through stuff. The only reason you're going through stuff is because there's life on the inside, and it needs to be made manifest in your mortal flesh. It's not going to work, beloved, if you just want it to be in your spirit. Because my spirit is sealed until the day of redemption. No, God is expecting you to release his glory in this earthen vessel so that every man can see it. That he will have conscious understanding of it. That's what he just said. That you would be able to have commending the verse 2, that you would be able to have this manifestation, commending yourself to every man's conscience. He will have a conscious understanding of what he sees is what you believe. It is time out for the body of Christ to say that they're following Jesus, but can't nobody see it. What you see, what people see, shows what I believe. If I believe that God is a very present help in time of trouble, then I don't talk about bad things in my trouble. I talk about a super bad God. I talk about a God that knows how to deliver by many or by few, that knows no limits and no restraints. I talk about a God that promised that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and that every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. That's what I believe. That's what comes out of my mouth. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Or, as a man thinks in his heart, you will see it. For the good or for the bad. Because whatever I believe is what you see. Verse 11, for we which are which we live always delivered. Now, don't get mad because you're going through stuff. The reason you're going through it is so that the life of Jesus, come on. He just said something even greater than what I thought. He just said that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in your flesh. Not only will it be seen, it will become resident. Hallelujah. It will become your strength. It will become your state. It will be made manifest. That will become its permanent address. Glory to God. See, that's going from glory to glory, beloved. That's not going from glory back to sin and then hoping you can get back to the glory that you had before. No, that's going from glory to glory. He did not tell us to go back from glory to sin. He said if you're going to follow him, you're going to go from glory to glory. It's going to be made manifest, resident in your mortal flesh. Come on, please. This go to your Bible. I didn't ask you to read my Bible. I asked you to open up your Bible. To 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Then it says, so then, this process of dying to ourselves by allowing him to live through us happens every day. And it says now, because of this in verse 13, it says now I display that I have the same spirit of faith. Now, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. I have the same spirit now, according as it is written in Psalms 116, I believed And that's when my mouth went to moving. Okay. I believe, therefore have I spoken. Again, when you see the word therefore, back up and see what it's there for. The reason that your speech should be engaged is because your heart believes. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. It didn't say we also are injured, therefore speak. We were talked about, therefore we talk about. He didn't say that, beloved. He says, I need you to believe. The only reason that your mouth should be in motion is that your heart is actively believing. Just look at the verbiage. It didn't say we have believed. We also believe. That is a perfect present tense rendering of the word. You can't go and think, well, you know, it worked one time. No. The only reason my mouth moves is because my heart is engaged in active belief. We also believe, and because of that, therefore, we speak. And notice this. Come on, y'all. This is all just the preliminary stuff. I wasn't even trying to get to this, but there it is. I told y'all this is one of my favorite scriptures right here. Notice what he just said, that we believe and therefore speak because we know something. Did you get that? If I'm hurt and injured, I don't understand the full gamut of why I was hurt or injured. I don't know what made them lie. I don't know what made them say what they said. So then why am I functioning with the assumption? Assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. And yes, you know how they broke assumption down. It makes an ass out of you and me. Okay? Just looking at this, and he was like, well, he said that, yes, I just broke it down phonetically. It makes a donkey, someone that is stubborn, out of you and me. Because if I think you hurt me and I respond to what I think you did, then I'm going to cause a division between you and I. I just left my peace because the Bible says that I'm supposed to endeavor to keep the bond of peace that's established in unity. But I think you injured me, so I said, forget my peace. I'm going to function on assumption instead of the truth that causes liberty. Notice the reason that my mouth should speak is that I believe, and therefore I speak knowing that he that raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, shall also raise me up and present me with him. Wow. I mean, does my mouth move because I know that my God is delivering me out of this situation? Or is my mouth moving because I don't know what's going to happen yet? I can't stand much more. The Popeye spirit jumps on me. I done had all I can stand. I can stand no more. But I know that he that raised up the Lord Jesus is going to work the same thing in me. Will also shall. The word shall is an absolute imperative. That's not a might, that's a shall. That the Lord shall raise us up also by the word. And by that same word, present me. Did you just catch that, beloved? When I do it the right way, that word takes me into the very presence of God, because remember, God says, my word will not return to me void, Isaiah 55:11. In other words, the word spoken is going to go back to God, but it can't go back to God if it ain't working. If it's not working in your heart, then that word is not going back to God. He said that when you do it this way, you will be presented with us. For all things, verse 15, are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving. See, if I'm not doing what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything give thanks, if I'm not giving thanks, Notice what just, I gave up all of the working that I want to see. I just forget about my grace. All things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving. So that if I abandon the process of thanksgiving in everything, give thanks, if I abandon that process, grace no longer works. I'm now trying to think if grace is sufficient. When he told me it is, but when I don't do this, I think that grace is insufficient. I don't allow the abundant grace to work, because the abundant grace, not the insufficient grace, works through thanksgiving. And then because thanksgiving is involved, now it will redound to glory. We go back to the process of glory to glory. I'm being conformed into his image. Because what you see is what I believe. Verse 16. For this cause, for which cause? This is the cause we don't faint. Because I understand these principles. These principles have become alive and resident, manifest in my mortal flesh. That when someone steps on my mortal flesh, this is what they get. Glory to God. They don't get retaliation. They can't, because what's resident, what's manifest in my mortal flesh is different. I have glory resident in this mortal flesh. I have this treasure in earthen vessels. This is the cause that I don't faint. But though our outward man perished, yet the inward man is renewed. When does this process of renewal take place? It's supposed to take place day by day. So instead of you letting the sun go down on your wrath, you should, come on, y'all, come on, look at that. Instead of letting the sun go down on your wrath, you should just go ahead and enter into another day. Amen. That's what it says in 2 Peter. That we should take heed to this word of prophecy, that's a more sure word of prophecy, that we would do good if we do that, because then the day dawn and the day star would arise in my heart. I will start a new day. I will start a new cycle of things. Glory to God. Instead of me going back over and over the stuff that's been hurting me and rehashing it, no, I start a new day, a new process. I enter into another dimension of glory. Hallelujah. It's renewed day by day. Verse 17. For our light affliction. Light affliction. This ain't nothing heavy. He said this affliction, whatever it is, God looks at it as a light affliction. And if that wasn't good enough, which is but for a moment. Come on, y'all. It's just a moment. It's a momentary thing. And watch it. This light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for you. Glory to God. And here I am stopping it, because I'm not going to let them see the word of God working. I'm going to let them see my emotions, frustrations, fears, hurts working. This light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. And what does it work? It works a circle, underline, color. Come on, y'all. It works for us a far more exceeding, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, come on. This is not glory then, y'all, that's going to be easily removed. This is going to be glory that is eternal. It's going to have an exceeding weight, an eternal weight. Not a weight that you might not see tomorrow, because I don't feel spiritual today. This is an eternal weight, an exceeding weight of glory. Oh, please. He says, but for this weight, and this glory to work for your good, far exceeding? You have to look at the right things. Now, notice we're trying to get them to see what we believe, but he tells us we're going to have to look at something differently. While we look not at the things which are seen. So if you're looking at the things that you see and not looking at the word which takes you into that which God has called you to, you just threw a monkey wrench in the whole process. Because your whole exceeding weight of glory doesn't work while you look at what you see. Please read it. This light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things which are seen. While we have our eyes on the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporary, subject to change, temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So then we have to ask ourselves, are we functioning in this, or are we just playing with this? And again, he didn't stop. He keeps on going. For we know, while this process is working, we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle is going to be dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And this is what we've grown for, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house that is from heaven, that if being clothed, we shall not be found naked. That if being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So when the people that challenge us are watching us, they see that we are clothed in righteousness. We are not naked the same way they are naked, without protection. Naked. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in, and they are safe. They're clothed in righteousness. For this that we groan, being burdened. The reason that you groan is because you're burdened. You're going through stuff. Not that we would be clothed, unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And I do understand what he's talking about here. Because he's going to state it just real quickly. For we are confident, knowing that whilst we are holding the body, we're absent from the Lord. Before we walk by faith, not by sight. But we are confident, say, rather willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That whether we labor, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. What you see is what I believe. See, if I believe that God has called me to victory, that I walk in that victory, because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? Victory is what's guaranteed to me. But if I don't know this, then I will walk by sight and not by faith. I will look at the things which are seen, and I will throw away this exceeding weight, this eternal weight of glory. See, this is what we've got to do. Because what you see, my reactions, the things that I display to you, is what I really believe. And once we get our heart lined up so that we can believe what God has said to us, so we can believe the way God said it to us, then we'll be able to enter into the place where glory works. I want you to come on, y'all. I would like to live where glory works for me instead. Oh, that's good, sir. I would like to get to the place where glory works for me instead of me trying to work for glory. That's what he said we should do. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. See? That the glory is not going to be of you. Okay. Just go back there so you can see this. In chapter 4. He just told us that we have, verse 7, in this earthen vessel, we have this treasure, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's trying to get the glory to shine. Verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in your heart to give knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure of the knowledge of this glory. Okay, come on, y'all. He says, I have the treasure of the knowledge of the glory. But I can throw the knowledge of the glory away and act like a heathen, act like a fool, act like somebody that's not connected to God, act like someone that has ignorance in their heart because I don't know something. See? I've got to know something. I've got to be convinced of this. I can't be guessing. Beloved, the glory of God does not work through guessing. Okay? The glory of God does not work through testing. It works through confidence. It works through knowing. Please remember, look at Acts chapter 4. It says that the people that were threatening Peter and John, it says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They called them ignorant and unlearned men. But yet, even in their ignorance, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. See, what you believe is what is displayed. That's what we see. We don't see your confession, great alluring words, wannabes. We see what you believe. You cannot separate it. As a man thinks in his heart, that's what we see. That's where he is. See, and it's time for us, body of Christ, to come to the place where we say, you know what, God, I don't want to be double-minded, living a double standard. I want to be only used by you. I want you to do in me what's necessary so that you can then heal me. I'm going to give you access to my heart so you can heal my hands, so that you can bless what I put my hands to. I'm tired of guessing. Maybe God won't be. If I would simply have the word in my heart, it would stop me from falling short. That's what David said. Psalms 119. Thy word, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, so I will not sin against you, so I will not be without a portion. That I will have this confidence all of the time. I wanted you to see, I wanted you to see that the manifestation of that truth, the manifestation of that truth is supposed to be seen in every man's conscience, in the sight of God. Okay, please. Did you notice that God put his view in the place where people see you? Verse 2 of chapter 4. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He put his view, his sight, in conjunction with what people see. Okay, okay. Notice this. Please just take the time and get this. He did not put it in conjunction to what your spouse only sees. The one that's going to give you a pass because they love you. He said this manifestation of truth is going to be seen by every man. Even the one that hates you, that's getting on your nerves, that's trying you right now. That's when victory is won, beloved. Victory is won when God can say about you, in the time of trouble, that you are his disciple, that you are his chosen vessel. That's what the devil has always been looking for, because God asked the devil, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered him? He's faithful. Job is not going to give up on me. Even though Job went through hell, the Bible says he did not sin with his mouth but charge God foolishly. Have you considered my servant Job? He's a perfect man, one that eschews evil. Can God say that about you? Because he's looking for the manifestation of this truth in the sight of every man's conscience. We know about that one. That one walks with God. That one understands love and functions in love. That one just doesn't talk about love and then say, but God's still working on me. It's evident, beloved, that he's not working on you because you done gave up the process. The process says that we don't hide in dishonesty. We don't walk in craftiness. Well, you know, God knows my heart. No, we don't walk in that. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. We look for opportunities where God can, in his sight, in the sight of others, when we're being tested, say, that is my servant. That is my son. That is the conversion that I'm working in so that it can be worked out. That's where the victory lies, beloved. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and we just praise you. We thank you for giving us truth that will transform, truth that can be seen in every man's conscience, and you're viewing what we do at that time so that you can affirm that you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. That you can then reward us by your heart's intent because we keep your word. Because your word is precious unto us. That we won't allow offense to cause us to give up the word. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, persecution, distress, nakedness, peril, nay. In all these things, that's where we display our victory. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Cause us to know that, to display that, to walk in that, so that you can be pleased and be able to call us your son. Take us from glory to glory. By the same Spirit. We give you praise, we give you honor and glory. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord, said together, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and open up lines to receive commentary. Area code 845. 845.
Hallelujah. Welcome. Welcome, 845. Glad again. We're glad that you took the time to listen. Hope that you were encouraged. Built up.
Always,
amen.
Brother.
Amen.
God bless you, brothers. You guys hear me?
Huh?
You guys hear me?
Yes, sir. We got you.
Yeah, you're great.
Okay, good. Well, Brother Steve, Mike, just a very edifying message. Always getting strengthened, brother, just learning here, getting taught, fed, and brother, just appreciate, you know, the word that the Lord brings through you every single Monday. I'm always looking forward to it, brother, and, you know, just taking in God's word, you know, dissecting it and just studying myself, you know, just to show myself approved before God.
Amen.
And, brother, just going from glory to glory every day. I mean, I guess it's just that process, you know. It's just that it's a spiritual process that I guess brings out that fruit that when it's manifested, you can see it, you know, in your outer works in your life. You know what I mean? And I guess it's just trying to, you know, working on patience and not looking with these eyes, as brother Brother Emmett said, don't look with them eyeballs. just keep growing, brother, and that's just the kind of path that I'm on, you know.
Amen. And He's faithful. Again, He who begun a good work in you, He's faithful to complete it. He doesn't give up on the process, even when we don't understand. He simply does not give up on the process. So that's just a good thing. I love that. Because like I say, there, being a work in process, I should look back in the mirror of the Word and be able to see what God is faithfully doing in my life. Again, if I'm not going from glory to glory, if I didn't give Him my heart, I can't expect Him to fill my hand.
That's a good point, brother.
It's just good. But again, we appreciate you calling and being on the call faithfully. Amen.
Amen, brother. Always a pleasure, brother.
Amen. All right, be blessed.
Good night, guys.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Shalom. All right. That looks like that was our only caller for this evening. So with that being said, we're going to give space. Pastor Steve, anything else that you would like to say?
Take the time. All of these have been captured on YouTube, so you can go and listen again so that we can just grow and be strong, because that's what He wants us to do. This is the work of the ministry that we believe. All right? And what you see is what I believe.
Amen.
Okay. So we'll just go ahead and close it.
All right, folks. We would like to thank all those who are out there listening and tuning in to us here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Please don't forget, if you've been blessed by any of the teachings here, to sow a seed here at Live Deliverance, you can do so by going to www.livedeliverance.com, and there you can make a donation if you would like. Also, don't forget that we have powerful teachers coming up this week from Pastor Overton and a few others. So get ready to... get ready to get this week going again, get ramped up, and we would like to thank you for tuning in. Shalom, folks. Have a good night, and if it's the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com.
Amen. Love you. Be blessed.
Bye-bye. Love you too, brother.